Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Law, the producer and director of Sandbox Radio. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast. This episode, Eye of the Beholder, was made possible in part by the Seattle Office of Arts and Cultural Affairs and the generous contributions of our audience and listeners like you. Help us create future episodes by making a tax-deductible donation online at thesandboxac.org. And now, Eye of the Beholder, featuring poet Elizabeth Austin and musical guests Jad Davis and Scott Warrender.
Sandbox Radio. West of Lenin in Fremont, the center of the universe. In tonight's episode, new plays from Lisa Halpern, Scott Augustin, Paul Mullen, Vincent Delaney, and Elizabeth Heffron. A poem from Elizabeth Austin. Special musical guests, Jad Davis and Scott Warrender. And music from the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Excerpts from Flying Through Blue by Lisa Halpern. Bedtime Ritual.
Favorite shows?
Monday, House. Tuesday, So You Think You Can Dance. Wednesday, So You Think You Can Dance Results Show. Thursday, Grey's Anatomy Private Practice. Friday, Friday Night Lights. Saturday and Sunday, nothing's on. You?
Monday, CSI, SVU. Tuesday, CSI Miami. Wednesday, CSI New York. Thursday, Grey's Anatomy. Friday, Criminal Minds. Saturday and Sunday, nothing's on.
If you could buy anything?
Easy. 2010 Audi R8 sports car, 55-inch flat screen, newest TiVo, trip to Club Med Cancun, go.
Shopping spree at Nordy's, mani-pedi and facial series at a spa, 55-inch flat screen, newest TiVo, trip to Hawaii.
Love you.
Love you too. Do you ever feel, I don't know, like something's missing, or off or something? JD, you awake?
As Fiona's breathing settles into the rhythm of sleep,
oh my God!
What? What's wrong?
I dreamt I was a whale. It was so real. Where do you think the phrase out of the blue came from? JD?
Kickoff! Ready, set, and...
Good morning, everyone! I'm excited to kick off this project and create a fresh take on Swell laundry detergent. Our fearless leader, Shelby, will walk you through it. Our ad campaign will be a revelation, a game changer. I want you all to use Swell. We gotta drink the Kool-Aid here.
Suddenly, Fiona is lifted off her feet by a giant wave. She's flying, swimming.
Whoa!
Abruptly back in the meeting.
Oof.
Who knows how much time has gone by?
Whoa.
Okay, team, get out there and sell some swell.
Laundry lesson number one.
Fiona carried a basket of laundry to the washing machine. She was thinking of herself in the third person again. Secretly wishing she was just some friend she knew whose problems didn't much interest her, and most especially didn't concern her. After all, was it her fault that she was just she?
She opens a bottle of swell and smells it.
I'm glad I'm not her, she thought, believing for a moment that she really wasn't her at all, when in fact she knew she really, really was entirely she.
She empties swell into the washing machine, shuts the lid, presses start.
Something had felt off for a while. She didn't know exactly what it was, but she was on the hunt for the switch to flip that would open whatever it was in her that had quietly closed.
The sound of the washing machine merges with the sound of the ocean.
Oh my!
Kitty! Part one.
Luna, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Luna, kitty. Lamb chop? Sweetie? Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Shit. Oh, God damn it. I've been looking for her everywhere.
She was upstairs with me.
Well, you could have said something. I thought she was dead.
Really?
Yes, really. Jeez, Fee. Next time you hear me calling her, let me know she's all right.
Sure. I didn't realize you were panicking.
I wasn't panicking. I just...
You thought she was dead?
Come here, my little buddy. Come here. You're okay. You're okay.
Really?
And now, TiVo and the Tub.
Pause the TiVo.
They found a fiber from the killer's leopard print jacket. They're doing a DNA test and fingerprint analysis with a specimen taken from her iPhone.
Did Nick put it together?
Nope.
All right, go. Are you okay?
No, I...
She lifts up her shirt. Red welts cover her body.
Holy crap! It's a rash. Let's get you into the tub.
Hello?
She closes her eyes and begins to swim. Totem card.
You want to go first?
No, you.
Okay, this is called a totem spread. It says in the book, each person has a totem animal that walks beside you at all times and may come to you in dreams. Ooh, the whale card. Oh, listen to this. Whale is the record keeper, like a swimming library. Whale carries the history of Mother Earth and is said to have been placed here by the ancients. They are usually clairaudient.
Clairaudient?
Look it up.
Clairaudient. The power to hear sounds said to exist beyond the reach of ordinary experience or capacity, such as the voices of the dead.
Whoa.
I hear dead people.
Listen to this. Whale people are also psychically developed and fairly telepathic.
Telepathic?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what am I thinking?
Just because I don't know what you're thinking doesn't mean I wasn't a whale in another life.
Right.
I can prove it. Come on.
Laundry lesson number two.
Just wait.
Okay, what are we...
Just listen.
Seriously, Fee, I've got things to do.
I know, but something's happening. It's like the water comes alive.
Oh, now you're just freaking me out. I'm going to go see what's on. Come with me.
You don't believe me?
It's not that. It's just I guess I don't want to see the water come alive.
You don't believe me.
Come upstairs.
Stupid machine.
Whoa!
JD! JD!
Shock therapy.
Look, I don't know, Francois. I mean, look, all right, lately, I've just been feeling kind of...
Angry?
No.
Sad?
No.
Confused?
No.
Guilty?
No.
Jealous?
No.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. What then?
Well, I don't know. I guess I've just been feeling kind of edgy.
Edgy?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. We're going to do a little MTT. Meridian tapping. It's awesome. First, rate your feeling of edginess on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being not at all on edge.
Okay, 7. 8.
Okay. Now, do what I do. Tap each area with 2 fingers 7 times.
Okay.
Now, say the phrase... This edgy feeling.
This edgy feeling.
Karate chop your forehead.
Ow.
Now, do what I do. The side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose, under the chin, the collarbone, under the arm, the wrist, and the top of the head.
And top of that head.
Now, take a deep breath and relax. Rate your feeling of edginess on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being not at all on edge.
12.
Arm wrestling with Sprite.
No.
Come on, you do.
I really, really don't remember.
It was the party at the dorms.
There were a lot of those.
You're telling me that you don't remember the night we met?
Yes.
Damn.
I'm sorry, I really don't. Maybe I should start taking ginkgo supplements. It's supposed to be good for the memory.
I can't believe you don't remember. That totally bums me out. And we're out of Sprite.
Maybe you should start taking vitamin D supplements.
Oh, will that help you remember the first time we met?
No, seriously, you should try them.
Why?
I don't know. You just seem edgy lately.
Well, I don't need supplements. I'll just catch some rays. Which sounds better, sun lamp or trip to Hawaii?
Hawaii sounds magical.
Ding, ding, ding. Magical winds. I'm going to book us a flight.
Really? Can you afford it?
That's what credit cards are for, baby.
Aloha. Oh. Wow.
Did you hear that?
What?
I heard whales singing underwater.
Is that what that squeaky sound was?
Yeah.
Whoa. Do you? Whoa!
Whoa. Blowhole.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-changes.
Open ocean. A vast biotope covering 2/3 of the planet has an immense, precariously complex food chain, varying from microscopic animals like krill to whales.
What are you watching? Pause. Pause!
What's wrong?
It's Grey's Anatomy time.
I know, it's taping.
But it's on now. I want to watch it now.
We can watch it later. This is really amazing.
What is it?
Planet Earth. It's all about nature and...
A nature show? You don't watch nature shows.
I do now. Come on, we can watch Grey's after. Watch this with me.
I don't want to. Nature grosses me out. And where's my Sprite?
There's some organic soda in the fridge.
I want my soda.
I read this thing about the plastic rings on soda six-packs. They've been found on the necks of sea turtles, birds, and other sea creatures.
Shit.
Wait, there's more. Swell, is definitely not swell.
What do you mean?
They're killing marine life and giving people rashes.
Oh, how is your rash?
Still itches.
Oh, that's not good.
I can't write this campaign for swell.
Well, sure you can. You're super talented.
No, I mean I can't write it. I won't. It's against my... everything.
Look, we all end up doing stuff we don't like sometimes.
Ah!
Let's see. Holy crap! What the fuck is that? Is that a barnacle?
Laundry lesson number 3. The lights and darks of it all.
Something had felt off for a while, but under sea, she found her inner fins, sharing space with giant sea turtles. To the sound of whales singing, she felt at home in a way she hadn't for a long while. Flying through blue, she found what she had lost, and though it might mean losing what she had, she knew this one thing. She had to swim towards it, no matter what.
I'm a Markheim, a sort of angel, but not the sort with wings and a harp and a halo. Markheims are the black ops. We do things other angels can't or won't. Me, I'm a talker, subarchy, reverse curse. Upstairs pulled me out of retirement for a mission down in this soggy town. But when it was done, I didn't go back. I had questions. And the answers weren't up above in the fix. Now I'm walking neutral, half fallen in what we angels call the show. But I gotta watch my back, 'cause things can always get uglier.
Previously on Markheim.
Something strange is going on, Smiley. I think some shit is gonna go down if I don't talk to Sam. So how does a lowly Markheim dial up the devil?
You asking me?
Where's the lowest, foulest place in town?
Oh, the Metro Dig. They tortured a big, nasty metal worm to chew its way through Seattle's guts under Capitol Hill.
Sounds promising.
Oh, man. Don't stick your face down there like that.
It's okay. Angels have a terrible sense of smell. There's something happening here, Sam. Seattle's starting to crawl with angels. Why do you think that is, Sammy? This is still your city, ain't it? Sam? You know what? I couldn't give the shit currently sitting in this portable shitter. You figure it out. I don't care to ever see you again. Do me a favor and stay right down there, rotting in the hell you created for yourself! I heard you cut off your glowing hand, but then they sewed it back on. Stank said it doesn't burn anymore.
No, that's bullshit. It still burns, but now it's so beautiful, crisp. I'm not worthy of this pain, but Veronica says no one deserves it more.
Who's Veronica? Now do me a favor, Mara Demon Choker. With your beautiful, strong hands on your own beautiful, long neck, whatever you do, don't squeeze. You don't think there was a Markheim in the room with Judas at the end? Now listen closely, darling Mara. Do me a little favor. Tell Sam I talk to him or nobody. Okay?
And now, episode 7 of Markheim by Paul Mullen.
Smiley had helped me sneak away from my guards on the harbor steps, but after glowing Sam's choker demon back down to hell, I figured maybe I needed some angelic protection after all. I headed back to the closest thing I ever had to a home, just across from Hammering Man, where Seneca Street becomes Stairs. I could see them waiting for me, my three doms. Hello, ladies. Sorry about that. We must have just gotten our signals crossed. But I promise, from now on, I'll be good. One angel holds my feet, while the other two each grab a hand and touch my head. This closes a circuit, frees a seizure of light. Bright white mass of penetrating, brutalizing bliss. Way worse than a glow. Light where light should never be, guttering up into me like embalming fluid.
You reckon we're fucking round, Markheim?
You think we can't shine you down to hell?
Reckon we ain't authorized for this?
And somehow when she said it, I knew they weren't authorized. They weren't going to blaze me to the crisp. But this light they had me broiling in.
How's that feel, Markheim?
Like I'd do anything never to feel it again.
He's trying to say something.
Speak up, Markheim.
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
I'm heartily sorry for offending you. I will never leave again. I will always take you with me.
Oh, Markheim, sorry.
Please stop. I am so sorry. I'll do anything.
Oh, disgusting. Let him loose.
They dump me next to the fountain and withdraw to their posts. The sound of running water drags me down into a deep sleep, which is a problem, because as I believe I've mentioned before, angels don't sleep.
Oh, who's a good boy?
Liv? What is this place?
A sound garden.
I thought you were in Oregon.
I can't be in two places at once. That's rich, coming from an angel.
I see you got Black Francis back. Hello, Black Francis.
Hiya, Mark. I love you.
You've been a good boy?
Always good. Always. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, boy. Wait.
What?
He's talking.
So?
He's a dog.
So?
This is a dream, isn't it?
So?
I told you, angels don't dream.
Maybe things are changing.
Change ain't always good.
Never said it was.
Do you believe in evil?
Do you believe in sound?
Yes.
Okay, then. Are you ready?
Ready for what?
Something's coming.
Something wicked.
This way.
What?
It's almost here. Can't you hear him?
I can't hear anything but this damned garden.
He loves gardens.
Who?
Your oldest friend.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit is right.
He's coming!
Yup, and he's a little bit pissed.
My eyes pop open. My heart is thumping. But there's nothing in the night. Just the harbor steps. And my domination guards, one at the top of the stairs, one at the bottom, and one stuck in the middle with me.
Markheim!
Shit.
Hello? Anybody home?
Who's that?
Aren't you going to introduce me to your friend?
Don't talk to him. Don't even look at him. Just keep your heads down.
You want us to bow our heads to some meat?
He ain't meat.
Some demon, then?
Not bloody likely.
Oh, look at these darling dominations. So fresh from the fix, they don't even recognize me? What do they teach you up there, anyhow?
Best get back to hell, brother, before we touch you up.
Ooh, this one's spicy, Markheim. Is she your favorite? She'd be mine. These things are full of juice, you know. You just have to open them up, right?
Go to hell, crisp trash.
I can't go to hell, sister.
I am hell.
Now give us a kiss. Delicious. But you know, the first drink always just sobers me up.
Shit, it's Samael.
Bail out!
Freeze!
What am I supposed to do here, Markheim? Guzzle the glow from these two as well, burn their shells to the crisp too? Is that why you called me?
I don't want you to smoke anybody, Sam.
You don't want me?
No, I'm not telling you what to do.
No, oh, well, thank you so kindly. Come here, gorgeous.
Please, Saw Samael, we were only following Raguel's orders.
My replacement? That's meant to mollify me?
We were simple doms, huh, Satan? We ain't briefed to work wet.
And yet here you are. Oh, so wet. Now that one, woo! That one's going straight to my head. God damn, I've missed that. I need to treat myself to that more often.
Please, Sam, I get the point. Don't smoke them all. It's only trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm the Prince of Darkness. I don't want any trouble.
I'm begging. Let one go as a warning.
Ooh, crafty. Don't worry, Mark. I'm not going to smoke her.
Thank you.
You are.
What?
You know what to do. Put your lips to hers.
Sam.
Now. Now suck.
Don't ask me to do this.
I'm not asking. Now, light her up.
I've never smoked anybody before.
No, but you glowed my choker to the crisp.
Sam, I'm sorry. She had attacked me prior and...
On my orders!
Sam, please. I'm trying to walk neutral here.
You called my name into the shitter. You glowed my choker. She'll be useless for weeks, but somehow I'm supposed to see you as neutral.
I'm walking a very fine line.
I'll say. Now finish this one, and we'll call it good. Good. Now, see? We can talk like gentlemen.
You'll be on the brink of war with shit like this.
Is that what you wanted to talk about, war?
There's too many angels in this town. I'm tripping over them, Sam. Ever think maybe someone is trying to draw you off sides?
Keep talking.
Pick a city Sam's got indifferent infrastructure in, flooded with angels of all sorts and sizes and competencies. See if he jumps.
Why would the Fix want open war with me? After such a long peace.
Maybe it's just a splinter in the Fix. Someone looking to make a move.
Who?
Who knows? An archangel, likely.
That narrows it down to 7. Michael?
I doubt it. He doesn't get out much lately. Mostly stays put and binges bliss.
Regal. The Dom said they were his.
Maybe, but he wouldn't do it alone. He's got a bit of a stink on him being your replacement.
Nice.
Just saying.
Uh-huh. Gabriel.
I wouldn't begin to pretend to read Sar Gabriel.
Yeah.
What about Iophiel?
You kidding?
No chance she'd fudge the rules?
Kid, she is the rules.
I know that you...
You know that I what?
You two got history.
Stick to what you know, Markheim. You run down this little theory of yours and get back to me with anything you find.
I'm neutral.
You're here at my pleasure, Markheim. Which it ain't exactly been, I gotta tell you, since you got here. Your rent on sitting neutral just went up. Information, on a regular basis, payable to whomever the fuck I send to collect it. You're right. There are too many goddamn angels down here. From now on, you're the only one that gets a free pass. We see them, we smoke them. That's my new rule. You can pass it along.
What if that's what they want?
You think I'm afraid of a war? With every spin of the show, the odds on my side just keep getting better.
Maybe that's what they're afraid of. Demons can reproduce, angels not so much. The number of Fix forces is just that, fixed, while the host of hell is ever increasing. Maybe someone's looking to fight while the odds are still good.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you better find the fuck out for sure, huh? You're the last one I gotta remind, right? Things can always get uglier.
No, I remember.
Good. I'll be in touch.
Next time, on Markheim.
Is that Didge up there?
He doesn't go by Didge anymore.
That's some suit he's got on.
Many of you knew me by the street name, but I want to tell you today, Didge is dead. I'm someone new, someone stronger, and I'm here for you to fight.
You need to not come back here. This ain't a game. This is a showdown here. Markheim's ain't had clearance to work wet in over a century.
I'm walking neutral.
There ain't no fucking neutral, Markheim. Like the meat said, you gotta serve somebody.
Tell Iophiel I need to talk to her.
You're lucky I came. I'm mad at you. You were supposed to look after Black Francis.
I did, Liv, and then he got lost when I...
When you what?
I had to take care of something. It's been a long time. No one thought you were coming back.
I told you I would.
What happened?
What do you mean?
In Eugene, your stepfather.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah?
Yeah, shot himself. I guess he was cleaning his shotgun and it went off in his face.
Oh.
I was the only one home when it happened.
Oh.
That's all in the next episode of Markheim. And don't forget,
things can always get uglier.
A cup of coffee on a drizzly Seattle morning.
Knock, knock.
Oh, Marco, good morning.
Hi there, Tiger. Rawr. Can I borrow some eggs? I had a hot date last night, and I want to impress them with a frittata.
Them?
Hey, I'm just trying to stay on top of the trends. Keeps me young.
Help yourself to the eggs.
Do you want to come over and meet them? They're Romanian circus folk.
Oh, gotta take a rain check. I have to pick up my cousin Katie from the bus station. She's moving here.
Cousin Katie?
Yep, my cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
Yikes! The time, I'm running late.
Ciao!
What? Where is everybody? Excuse me, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
The bus 64.
The Midnight Sun Express from Alaska?
Yeah, is it late?
On the contrary, early. Some lady went into labor around Bellingham. The driver did 90 to get her here. That bus came half an hour ago.
Oh, no. How am I going to find my cousin Katie?
Katie from Ketchikan?
What? Yes, you know her?
Well, she saved the day. She delivered the baby. There she is!
Oh, cousin Katie!
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
Oh, Lena, look at me. Small town girl taking the big city by a storm.
Oh. I heard you had an eventful trip. You saved the day.
Oh, pshaw. Once you've delivered a caribou calf, a human baby is a piece of cake. Just reach in, grab on, and twist it out.
I'm sorry I wasn't here to meet you.
Oh, don't worry. I was fine. I'll admit I was a little apprehensive at first. My grandma Shirley took a greyhound to Kansas City in 1945, and she said the bus station was crawling with whoremongers.
What?
Those who monger the whores? They wait for innocent girls like me, and then, with flirtation and sweet alcoholic beverages, they lure them into white slavery. Unless the girl is black, then it's black slavery. But this place is pimp-free as far as the eye can see.
Oh, glad to hear it.
Except for maybe that guy over there by the vending machines. He looks dicey.
Oh, Katie, I was gonna take you over to the Chihuly.
Great! I love Mexican food! Oh boy, that monorail was like a trip to the future. You look a little pale.
Oh, sorry. The ticket price for the Garden of Glass was a bit of a shocker.
Oh, look at all these glass things.
Yeah, a lot of glass, all right.
Wow.
Wonder how they made it.
Well, it's just melted sand with a crayon thrown in for color.
Uh-huh. I bet you don't have anything like this in Alaska.
Actually, there's an Inuit word that I can't remember, but it means when a bear pees on the bush in the winter and it freezes before it all drips to the ground.
Oh. That sounds,
Yeah, it's pretty, all right. But word to the wise, leave it outside.
I consider myself warned.
It reminds me of my grandma Shirley.
Was she an artist?
No, but she was always ordering things from the back of the TV guide. She has a whole shelf of what she calls her knickety-knacks. This is like that, but bigger. She also had a Thomas Kincaid.
My little girl!
Ma'am, what's wrong?
It's my daughter. She's climbed up there.
Into the Chihuly? Into that, thing?
Yes, she's in the clutches of that, that artwork. Won't somebody do something?
Stand back! Stand back! We're the 911 guys. We have it under control. Everybody just calm the freak down.
That was quick. Back in Ketchikan, it's all volunteered. Sometimes the fellas show up snockered.
Can you get my daughter?
We're not sure, ma'am. All of us might be just too heavy. We don't know if that marvel of color and light will hold our weight.
Are you just going to leave her up there?
We're trying to get a hold of one of Dale Chihuly's assistants.
Oh, how hard can that be? There's like 100 of them.
Huh. Hey, why don't I just shimmy on the...
Oh, Katie, no!
Oh, it's fine. I climb glaciers back home. And I'm just a wee slip of a thing.
Look! That brave young woman is climbing that blob of glass!
Hey, little girl.
Hi,
I'm Katie from Ketchikan.
I'm Alice.
Whew. Well, you, young lady, have given your mother quite a scare.
I didn't mean to. I was just trying to figure out what this thing was. The little sign says, frightened sea cucumber embracing a wilted sunflower in a July snowstorm. But that's just dumb.
It is a little confusing, isn't it? Okay, hop on my back.
Oh, look! She saved the girls! They're climbing down!
Relationship with the master of glass. What do you say we head back to my place for some cocoa?
It's a plan!
Quite a day you've had.
Bingo.
Do you like Seattle, Katie?
No.
No?
No, I don't like Seattle.
I love it! Oh.
You know what one of my favorite things is?
What?
Lake Union. Oh,
yeah, there's some beautiful views of it from Queen Anne and Capitol Hill.
I love that Lake Union looks like a uterus.
What?
It's U-shaped with those two canals where the fallopian tubes would be.
Oh, Katie.
Well, I gotta get me some shut-eye. Tomorrow, I gotta find a job. Good night, Lena.
Good night, Cousin Katie.
I'd like to welcome to the microphone, please, Jad Davis and Scott Warrender to the piano. Thank you.
Deiner Knabe, du mit mir geh, meine Töchter sollen dich warten schön, meine Töchter führen den nächtlichen Rhein und wiegen und tanzen und singen dich ein, sie wiegen und tanzen und singen dich ein. Mein Vater, und siehst du nicht dort, der König Töchter am Distern. Scheinen die alten Weiden so klar. Ich liebe dich, mich reißt deine schöne Gestalt. Und bist du nicht willig, so brauch ich Gewalt. Mein Vater, jetzt fasst er mich an.
Listening to Sandbox Radio, Eye of the Beholder, recorded in front of a live audience on January 28, 2013. Mark your calendars for our next live show, Fools Rush In, coming up in Seattle at West of Lennon on April 29th. Until then, catch up on any shows you missed in iTunes or at thesandboxac.org. Now back to Eye of the Beholder and poet Elizabeth Austin.
The Girl Who Goes Alone. Here's the thing about being a girl and wanting to play outside. All the grown-ups grind it into you from the get-go. Girls outside aren't safe. The guy in the car, if he rolls down the window and leans his head out, run. Because the best you can hope for is a catcall. And at worst, you'll wind up with your face on the side of a milk carton. Even when you're a grown-up girl, your father, because he loves you, will send you a 4-page article about how to protect yourself while standing at the ATM, while jogging solo, while traveling unescorted. An article informing you how to distinguish phony police and avoid purse snatchers, pickpockets, rapists, and thugs. Tell someone you're going into the woods alone, and they'll story your head with trailside cougar attacks, cave-dwelling misogynists, lightning strikes, forest fires, flash floods, and psychopaths with a sixth sense for a woman alone in a tent. To be a girl alone in the wilderness is to know that if something goes wrong, you picked the trailhead where the axe murderer lurks, or the valley of girl-eating gophers. If you don't come home intact,
The morning will be mixed with I told you so's from everyone whose idea of camping involves an RV or a Motel 6. The message is clear. Girls must be chaperoned. So when, at the end of the day, you zip up the tent and lie back in your sleeping bag, fleece jacket bundled into a lumpy pillow under your head, the second you close your eyes, every least night noise is instantly magnified. You lie there and consider the pungent heft of menstrual blood. How even your sweat is muskier, louder when you're bleeding. Not hard to imagine its animal allure, every bear from miles around sniffing you on the night wind. You lie there, listening, running a mental inventory of any potentially scented item. Did everyone make it into the food bag hung from a tree? Toothpaste, trail mix, chapstick, sunscreen. Fuck! Sunscreen's still in your pack, nestled right beside you where outdoor man used to sleep. So you're up, out of the tent, headlamp casting its too bright spotlight as you lower the bag, shove the sunscreen in, hoist, and tie. Far enough from the ground to elude the bears? Far enough along the branch to thwart raccoons? Tree far enough from the tent to keep from signaling the proximity of ground-level, girl-shaped snacks? You go alone, in part, to prove that though outdoor man has left you, his body is the only geography he can deprive you of. He can give his muscled calves and thighs, his shoulders, chest, and hands to another woman, but not the Sauk River old growth. Snowfields of Rainier, sea stacks of Shy Shy. He can keep you from the sweet, blood-thrilling hum of his body, but not the sweaty, blood-thumping pleasure of a hard-earned panoramic view or high-altitude starlight. The thing about being a girl who goes alone, who goes again and again, is that it freaks the potential next boyfriend. He doesn't want to be out-machoed, and he doesn't want to admit it, and he hopes you can't tell. The thing about being a girl who still goes alone is that it proves you don't need him, and no matter how you show him you want him, it's not the same, and you both know it. Zipped back into the tent, you remind yourself you've never really been in danger. When have you ever been in danger? Well, there was that boy, but years ago, a teenager like you, driving around, bored and pissed at the world, his BB gun and his father's two rifles on the seat beside him. Lucky you. The gun he leveled on the window ledge lodged nothing more than a BB in your thigh. The thing about being a girl alone in the woods is you know too much about the grain of truth in the warnings. Even if you seem impervious, weird, good luck leaving you so far unscathed, you know the other girl's stories. Your sister, date raped after a party in college. A friend raped by a stranger at knife point. The two women shot on the Pinnacle Lake Trail. The singer killed by coyotes in Nova Scotia. The thing about being a girl who goes alone is that you feel like you shouldn't go if you're afraid. If you go, it should mean that you're not afraid, that you're never afraid. Your friends will think that you go unafraid. This girl who goes alone is always afraid, always negotiating to keep the voices in her head at a manageable pitch of hysteria. I go knowing that there will be a moment, maybe long moments, maybe hours of them, maybe the whole trip, when I curse myself for going alone, when I lie in the tent and all I am is fear. But I walk into the wilderness alone because the animal in me needs to fill her nose with the scent of stone and lichen, ocean salt, and pine forest warming in early sun. I walk in the wilderness alone so I can hear myself, so I can feel real to myself. I go because I know I'm lucky to have a car, gas money, days off, the back and legs and appetite to take me there. I go while I still can. The girl who goes alone claims for herself the Madrona, juniper, daybreak. She claims hemlock, prairie falcon, nightfall. She claims nurse log, sea star, glacial moraine, huckleberry, trillium, salal, snow melt, avalanche lily, waterfall, birdsong, limestone, granite, moonlight, schist, cirque, saddle, summit, ocean. She claims the curve of the earth. The girl who goes alone says with her body, the world is worth the risk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elizabeth Austin. The following message is brought to you by Fair Start.
I heard about this restaurant in Madrid.
Yeah?
They take ham and carve it to look like the head of a famous person. And then they bring it to your table.
A bust of ham.
A bust of ham.
Like who?
Oh, like it might be Madonna or Tiger Woods or Diana, Princess of the Whales or... But if you called ahead, I bet you could get anybody.
I read about this place in Japan where robots make your sushi.
Robots!
Robots! And every once in a while, they just stop and have a laser battle. Oh, and there's a seafood place in San Antonio. They serve oysters on the whole shell.
Why would they do that?
They can teach the oysters to tap out a message in Morse code.
Like castanets.
Just like castanets. And this dude brought his girlfriend there, and they brought out the oysters, and they tapped out, "Will you marry me?"
Wait, she knew Morse code?
Hell yeah. She was like a Girl Scout when she was growing up. She had the Morse code patch.
So many killer restaurants out there. That one in Wisconsin carved out of butter.
The Underwater Bistro in Kuala Lumpur.
What's the last thing we ate?
Those dinosaur-shaped pieces of chicken in your freezer. We didn't even heat them up.
Oh, we did not, sir. Oh, this situation is bringing me down.
My cousin Katie from Camp Chicken.
Here.
We are bereft of all hope.
We are a wandering in a culinary wasteland.
One more time in regular English, please.
Oh, we want to find a cool place to eat. Last time we went to a super fancy pantsy place.
They served us food. I kid ye not, in a thimble. An actual thimble. We left hungrier than we arrived. Yeah.
And the check.
It was more than our rent.
Guys, why not just go to Fair Start?
What?
Oh, you knuckleheads.
Order up.
For the last 20 years, Fair Start has been taking homeless and disadvantaged folks and teaching them kitchen skills and then helping them find jobs.
Really?
Yeah. They've helped over 6,000 people change their lives through their adult culinary program.
Oh, but we're hungry right now.
You're in luck. Because it's Thursday night, which is Fair Start's guest chef night. Every week, a different fantastic chef comes and works with the students to create a 3-course prefix meal for $29.95.
Dude, a great meal for under 30 bucks.
And the money goes to helping people get their lives back on track.
Let's go see if they got a table for three.
Katie, you're making us feel very cosmopolitan, even if there ain't no robots.
The Fair Start restaurant is at 7th and Virginia. It's open for lunch weekdays 11 to 2. Guest chef night is Thursday, 5:30 to 8.
They got a website?
Dude, of course they got a website. To learn more about the great stuff that Fair Start does, go to www.fairstart.org. That's F-A-R-E, start dot
O-R-G!
You can tell from the prune skin. Have you ever wondered what gives your skin that prune quality? Have you thought about it?
No, Tricia, I don't think I have.
Things We Didn't Do by Vincent Delaney.
The kids will pick at their skin. It's awful. Did you know? Because they can't tell what they're really doing. It won't bleed right away. It only bleeds later.
Are you going to turn off the water?
Well, no. I'm filling the tub. The tub has to fill.
Tricia, there's water all over the floor.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Well, that's odd.
How about if I turn off the tap?
But I've got to fill it up. It's bath time.
Tricia, can I ask you a question?
The answer is keratin. Did you know?
Keratin?
In your skin cells. Absorbs the water like a sponge. Prune skin is water absorbed into the keratin-based layer of your skin. It limits bath time.
Tricia, where are your children?
I'm running their bath. Do you have kids?
No. Nieces. Little girls.
That's nothing. That's cheating.
How do you mean?
You ever change their diapers?
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't believe you.
Tricia, can I turn off the water? Can I reach over and just turn it off?
I have to fill it for bath time.
Look at your feet. There's water everywhere. It's in the hallway now. It's down the stairs.
That is so odd.
Please let me turn it off.
Your uniform is wet.
I know.
Is that going to get you in trouble?
No.
I think your gun is wet.
Oh, yes.
Will it work if it gets wet?
I don't know.
I bet you're a good uncle, even though you never change diapers.
Tricia, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk to the tub. I'm going to turn off the tap.
Are you married?
Engaged.
Is she kind to you?
I'm standing up now. See, my hands are here. They're in front of me.
Glenn, please don't come any closer.
I need to, Tricia. I need to see.
Arlo gets so dirty. His fingernails? Ugh, you can't believe it. Miles is neat, but not Arlo. So I put them in together.
They love the tub. Miles will even scrub Arlo's back just to help out. Oh, that makes me laugh. Don't stand up.
It's okay.
Stay there. Just right there, please.
Okay.
Glenn, I think something is wrong.
I know.
It's really bad.
I'm here. I'm right here. Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. You deserve to know. I've got prune skin.
Would you excuse me a moment?
Where are you going, Glenn? Come back.
Freeze! Don't move! Glenn? Oh my God, I almost shot you.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
What's happening in there?
She's resisting.
How?
She won't let me turn off the water.
She what?
She said she needs to fill it for bath time. I'm not sure how to proceed.
Where are the children? Where are the two boys?
She says they're fine.
You accepted that?
She seems very sincere.
Listen to me. I just got off the phone with the father. He says he heard her drown them. She held the phone out so he could hear it. He says there are two dead children in that tub.
Well, that's odd. Are you sure?
I'm going in there. Step away.
No. It's fine. It's good. I know how to talk to her.
Stand down, officer. Move aside. I'm telling you to move aside. That's an order.
Would you excuse me?
Wait. Hey!
Hi.
Hi, Glenn.
I came back.
I see that.
The thing is, I probably need to be more firm.
I see.
I probably should be using handcuffs or something.
Really?
There's a lot of cops in your house, Tricia.
Are they keeping their shoes off the carpet? The carpets get muddy so easily.
My boss is worried. It's kind of a big deal out there.
Are you in trouble?
I'm just not good at this.
Did you want me to help?
No. This is already confusing. Your husband was on the phone with the lieutenant?
Oh, that's nice, Glenn.
He said there's something in the tub.
I've been thinking about this fiancé of yours. Not that this is my business, of course.
I should turn off the water.
It's just the tone you used when you said the word engage.
I should turn it off.
Forgive me for saying anything. I don't even know her name. Are you sure you're happy?
I want to turn off the water.
Glenn, is something wrong?
What is in the bathtub?
This is hard for you, isn't it? Being in here? When you're a dad?
I don't have kids.
You have kids. I can tell.
I'm an uncle. I'm not a parent.
You're a good dad, aren't you?
Why would you say that? How does that make any sense at all? Why would you think I'm a dad?
I can see how much you care. Only a dad would care that much.
Would you excuse me? I think we should just go. Let her work it out.
I'm relieving you. You're off duty. I want your badge. I want your gun.
Iris, can't we just go? There's nothing to see. It's bath time.
Give me your gun. Where's your gun?
I took it off.
Where is it?
It got all wet. It won't work.
Is your gun in the bathroom with the perp?
I guess it might be.
You're off the case.
Oh, come on!
Turn around, put your hands behind your back.
You're arresting me? For leaving my gun in the bathroom?
I'm arresting you because I don't trust you.
This is so embarrassing. People are gonna talk about this.
You should have thought of that. Hold still.
I'm gonna fix this. You're right. I haven't followed the book at all. I'll get my gun and I'll bust her.
You're not going back in there.
No, seriously. I figured out how to talk to her. I just need to be firmer.
Don't move.
I totally goofed up. I got rattled, and now a psycho kid killer has my loaded gun in the bathroom. But I can fix that. I can completely fix that.
Just a minute. I have a call.
I'm going back in.
Wait. Hello?
Is it her husband?
It's your wife.
My what?
No, he's busy. He can't talk right now. Yes, he's working. She wants to talk to you. It's urgent.
I'm not married. I don't have a wife.
He can't talk. He doesn't have a wife. What? Say that again? She wants to know what you did with the kids.
What are you talking about?
She wants to know what you did with your children.
I don't have children, and that is not my wife. Hang up.
Are you sure you're a cop? Now that I look closely, I'm not sure I remember you.
Just hang up the phone.
When did you join the force?
Hang it up.
Do I know you? How did you get that uniform?
Would you excuse me?
Hi, Glenn.
This is a really hard day.
Oh, I know. I get days like that. I feel so run down, and I think back, and I didn't do a thing the entire day. It's kids. They do that to you, just with their presence. Did you want to just sit down?
Everything's underwater.
You have prune skin, don't you?
I do. I hadn't noticed. I'm kind of shriveled.
Just remember, keratin. You forgot your gun.
Sorry about that.
Are you in trouble?
No, kind of. Well, maybe. They don't remember me on the force.
It's not your fault. I know you're good.
No one is happy with me.
I know you're a good dad.
I'm not a dad. I don't have kids. Just tell me what you put in the tub.
Well, Glenn, they were dirty.
I need to arrest you.
They got so very dirty.
Stand up.
You can look. Don't you want to look in the tub?
I don't want to.
I thought you did.
I don't need to do that.
Don't you want to see?
Stop talking. Just stop talking.
Sorry, I'm on your nerves.
It's a bad day. My job performance sucks. Plus, my wife is angry with me.
When did you get married?
I'm not married.
Glenn, you need to look in the tub.
I don't want to.
I'm going to help you. I'll be with you.
I don't want to.
Glenn, I'm turning off the water.
No, please don't. What's happening?
Don't you want to look? They have your eyes.
I don't have children.
You're sure?
I think I might have gotten married at some point.
I understand.
I think her name is Iris. I think we might have...
They look okay. They look happy.
No.
It's so hard to keep them clean. You had to keep them clean.
I need to arrest you for murder.
I know.
I don't. I can't seem to remember what happened.
I know. I'm going to help you. It's going to get hard. I won't leave you.
Glenn? Honey? What are you doing in there? Glenn?
I won't leave you.
Who's that?
That's your wife. That's Iris.
Honey? Where are the boys? Are they with you?
I don't think I'm a cop, am I?
I'll be right here, I promise.
Open the door, Glenn!
I was never a cop.
Where are Arlo and Miles? What are you doing in there?
I'll never tell.
Who are you?
You needed me. I came to help.
Glenn! Glenn! Open this door!
Look, go ahead. Look.
I can't.
Just bend down and...
Oh.
There. You see?
They are so beautiful.
Yes.
My boys. My beautiful, beautiful boys.
Next time on Cousin Katie.
Lena, guess what? I'm not a bum anymore.
Katie, we don't say bum.
I got a job.
That's great. Where?
The Seattle Nudist Association. I'm a receptionist.
The what?
Oh, don't worry. It's really just like any other office job, except...
Except what?
They take casual Fridays pretty serious.
My cousin Katie from Michigan.
Mama. No. Dear Mama. No. Dearest Mama. Because you are dearest to me as ever, even if you are not sending me the same warm thoughts. I received your letter of November last. It's already late January here in the Washington Territory, so your urgent and alarming missive took over 2 months. Traveling overland from Kansas and spending many days, I fear, at the postal desk in Peshaston, as the postmaster had lost a tooth the week before and died of sepsis. Part of me wishes it had never arrived at all, but that is... No. Mama, it is impossible for me to fathom this distance that has grown between us, a chasm both of physical space and the heart. I fear you. I believe you. No.
Evangeline?
Yes?
Well, what are you doing up here? Belle's asking for you. Bunch of the pit boys are coming down off the chumstick.
I'll be down directly.
Well, all right. But what do you got in that drawer there?
Nothing to do with you,
Is it a little of Doc Keller's fixings?
No.
Because if it is, you know Belle
says... If you insist on knowing, it is a letter that I'm writing. Writing a letter.
A letter?
Yes.
You can write yourself a letter?
I can.
Well, who's it to?
Never you mind.
Who, Evie? Who could you write to?
My mother. Now, could you tell Belle I'll be down in 2 shakes?
Oh, sure, Evie, but...
Yes?
Well, maybe one day. And I'm not saying right now's the time, but someday... Well, could you write a letter for me to my pappy?
Sure.
Thank you, Evie. Oh, this is so exciting. I'll tell Belle you'll be down. Keep scratching.
I confess, Mama, I was only able to read the first lines of your letter. Knowing you have condemned me to the hell of my choosing, as you state with such vengeance, sends me into a despair so dark and deep that no. You cannot imagine the odd and drastic nature of life out this way, the proximity of the living to the dead and the bigness in the hearts of many people, their willingness to bend what in your old, tired eastern states may seem like immovable rules. I was bound by those rules once, but no longer. No. You may be wondering where my husband is. Sure, a good many questions went through your head
when brother came back with his report on my whereabouts and conduct. Why? Oh, why did you send brother to find me? That may be the cruelest bit of all. I can still see him talking to the barman, his old schoolboy's cap in hand.
Well, what can I get you, son?
Me? No, sir. I'm here looking for Ken.
Looking for Ken, huh? Well, join the crowd. What kind of Ken?
My sister, sir.
Sister? And you're looking for her at the Mad Dog?
Well, I've been to the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, and the General Store. Somebody there said I best try here, although I don't see why. She doesn't drink. Evangeline's married to a lay minister.
Evangeline?
Yes. Do you know her?
Brother?
Who are you?
Brother, it's me.
Evangeline? Is that you? What happened to your hair?
I dyed it, brother, that's all.
It's redder than a Scottish devil.
It's just the fashion out here.
What's this getup you're wearing? All that satin and them flounces in your bosom. You look like a...
Now, brother, don't be alarmed.
You were going to be a teacher, Evangeline.
I can explain.
Don't touch me! Take your hands off!
It broke my heart, Mama. I dearly remember the love and worship in brother's eyes when Harlan and I left Topeka for Oregon. The kisses and promises we made to bring him out. But God laughs at kisses and promises. And God is a liar and a cheat. No. As to my husband, Harlan may still walk this earth with that one-sided sneer of his, but he resides nowhere near me. And if he were to connive his way up to these enchantments, I would not hesitate to use the Colt 45 I stole from him. I somehow disappointed him more deeply than I have you. I swear I did my best to live up to the biblical ideals he required, but 3 miscarriages, a concussion, and 2 the dislocation of my right shoulder was enough for me. A year ago last Sunday, I packed up a small valise and waited for pitch dark when Harlan would be asleep. I was so terrified, I could barely keep my teeth from chattering.
Evangeline?
Yes?
Why are you up? Get back to bed.
I must have...
What?
I forgot to latch the outhouse, Harlan. Those raccoons are in there again.
Damn it, woman, you and Jezebel. God put nothing between your skulls but cotton and lust.
It'll just take a minute. The night I set out, away from Coos Bay and that miserable cabin, stinking of seal oil and raw plank wood. That was the moment I was born again, Mother. Now, I sleep in sheets that smell of rose petals, and I'm free to converse with men who are prone and sad and lonely, and they are looking to me for a sweet bit of salvation. It is a gift I can finally give.
Evangeline! Stop that panning and get your white ass down them stairs. The miners is here.
I'll be right there, Belle, I promise.
Who are you writing up this goddamn letter to?
My mother.
That's what Lily's been cackling on about. I told her don't nobody write nothing to their mothers. It's a pit in the ground. A waste of heartache and consternation.
It may be, but...
But what?
But... I can't help myself.
Well, you better be back downstairs in 5 minutes or you'll find your little wicky-whack with more time to write than you can shake a stick at.
Yes, ma'am.
Writing your mother. Like praying to Congress.
Mama, I've decided to tell you everything. I'm not ashamed. I spend my time with men. Well... Mostly boys, really. Some that not that much older than brother. There are the loggers,
with feet so wet they grow a fungus that never goes away. It molds their toes together as if they were ducks. And they are so embarrassed about this when they come to town. Sweet, really. But I insist they remove their shoes, let me oil their feet. And sometimes, when they pull their boots off, their skin peels away too. And there is a terrific odor to this condition, Mama. A penance for me, maybe? I believe I am doing some good. Or take the railroad boys from Greece and Italy and Ireland and such countries with names that sound like mix-up Scrabble words. Most of them are missing at least a few digits. So when their stumpy hands touch your midriff, it feels like a horse brush or some scratchy implement, not a human hand. But don't worry. Doc Keller is able to disinfect most of these types of wounds, as well as fog the pain with a tincture or two of blue velvet, which is a lovely blue liquid that goes down with a gag, but spreads out like warm flames in your body. It's something, unfortunately, I have grown quite fond of. Doc Keller!
Evangeline, what are you doing here?
I came for some more of the medicine.
Oh, Evangeline.
I'm sorry, Doc. I know you said I should stop, but you see, I have such horrific dreams, and I can't close my eyes, and I can't stop shaking. Please, Doc, just one vial more. You know how grateful I can be.
Well, come on in quickly. This is the last one.
No. No. Dear Mother, I ask you, as a Christian, paregoric and a woman's touch, how can these be evils when men live with the possibility of death at every turn? Life is short, Mama. Take a breath and it may be gone. It is too short for a letter such as yours, is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I do not want to remember you this way. I am a disappointment, I know. I have unspeakable morals, and I've brought you nothing but shame. These are things I shall have to live with all my life. But as I awake each morning, I must know I am loved. Well, there's nothing left to any of it. And if you do not love me, no. No. I will not imagine it. And so, I'm returning this to you, your letter. I'm sending it back. Hate cannot be your message. There is not enough time for this. I love you, Mama. No. Yes.
Evangeline!
Coming! I love you and choose to imagine this love for all time and against all enmities. I love you. Yours truly, Evangeline.
Pack up the toys and turn out the lights.
that's our show for tonight. We'd like to thank A.J. Epstein and West of Lennon for having us. And please give it up for our special guests, poet Elizabeth Austin. And bringing the unbelievable Schubert leader, Jad Davis and Scott Warren. In tonight's episode, the Sandbox Radio players were...
Megan Ayers.
Eric Ray Anderson.
Christine Marie Brown.
Jin Hammond.
Charles Leggett.
Paul Mullen.
David Natale.
Rebecca Olson.
Peter Dylan O'Connor.
Larry Paulson.
Annette Tatongi.
Catherine Van Meter.
Richard Zyman.
With the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, Dan Tierney on drums. Dave Pascal on the bass. Rob Whitmer, accordion and clarinet. And the keys, Jose Juicy Gonzalez. And I'm your host, Leslie Law. So, Annette and Catherine are bringing out some lyric cards, because now's the time in the show when we'd love you to sing along. I think you know the tune. Ready? Here we go!
He's feeling swell, he's feeling great, just to be with you on a sandbox day.
Recorded live at West of Lennon in Seattle, Washington on January 28, 2013. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Dave Pascal. Our stage manager was Colleen Nielsen, and our sound technician was Jordan Sell. Elizabeth Austin's poem, The Girl Who Goes Alone, was commissioned by Richard Hugo House for the 2009 literary series. It appears in the chapbook, The Girl Who Goes Alone, from Floating Bridge Press, 2010, and the full-length collection, Every Dress a Decision, published by Blue Begonia Press, 2011. You can follow Sandbox Radio on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast at the iTunes Store. Find out more about Sandbox Radio, the Sandbox Artist Collective, send us an email, and access our podcast archive at thesandboxac.org. Thanks for listening.